A bunch of jokes. Okay, it's rolling. Okay, good. And yesterday's recording, everything came out? Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, first of all, Charlie, your partner back yet?
No, another 2 weeks.
He's freezing there? What's the weather?
I haven't been
touched since he left. Wow, of course. Sweden, Scandinavia is cold.
No, exactly.
He went from there to America, or he came back here? And of course, I lost track. I was sitting shiver, so I see. America is definitely very cold now. Okay, today is Monday, January 16th, 2012. And once again, I say good morning to the students in front of me and to the many other listening with the miracles of modern technology. Just two jokes that came my way. One of them is based upon the hesped from my mother. If you recall, I spoke about the Ishah Gedolah and Elisha and the Shunammit, and the pasuk reads, "Hine yodati ki ish Elokim kadosh hu over oleinu tamid." And I quoted the pasuk, how she knew and what she did for him, and Yosef Chaim. I don't know where he got this from. It's evidently a printout from the websites. And he tells the following story, that the Reb Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chatam Sofer, learned around the clock. And like many Litvakin who later follow him, he wasn't makpid on tefillah at the coming to the minyan at the proper time. I remember when I learned in Lakewood, the guys used to boast, "I never missed the Baruchu." But what he didn't tell you is he never said Psukei Dezimra. So Reb Nosson Adler would arrive in shul, he'd wake up and very late, and sometimes he wouldn't get in until Oleinu. So the comment was made, we know that he is a great individual, a great Rav. We know he's an Ish Elohim. How do we know it? Who are there Oleinu Tamid, that the only time he gets the shul is when they say Oleinu. Secondly, you know that I've made the comment many times, I think it's in my book as well, in Washington, that when I learned in Lakewood, they convinced me that the Torah was given in Yiddish. And they mamish believed it. I can still remember talking, he died very young, Freddie Zucker from Baltimore. And I said, "How could it be?" He said, "Was Meinman, what do you think? Well, the Moshe Rabbeinu only could speak Yiddish with the Ribbono Shel Olam. What else did he speak with the Ribbono Shel Olam?" And I really, you know, at a certain point in my life, believed it. So here, this is Jack Bellin from Detroit. I thank him for sending me this, that Reb Chaim Crisworth, who was the chief rabbi of Antwerp, he had been in Chicago earlier, and on his 10th Yahrzeit, they were speaking about him. So they told the story that one time he was speaking to a group of Sfadig Eidot HaMizrach B'nai Torah. And he told them, the Rambam implies that it's a mitzvah to understand Yiddish. You're probably wondering, what's the source? The Rambam was Sfardi. How could he say it's a mitzvah to learn Yiddish? However, in one of his letters in the Igrot HaRambam, he writes, it's a mitzvah to cleave to Talmidei Chachamim. He's quoting the Gemara actually, then the Pesachim. To marry off one's daughter to a Talmud Chacham. To speak the way Talmidei Chachamim speak. Most of the Talmidei Chachamim in our generation speak Yiddish. And that's why it's a mitzvah to learn Yiddish. Okay, so we will Makayim the Gemara in Shabbos. But we began with Mili de Bedichata, but you have to admit that those two puns are lumbish puns. Okay, now I want to come into the heart of today's shir, and of course we're dealing with the reality of Israel today. And everyone in the world will have a complaint and yell and shout. Since we met last, was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I said shir Sunday, Monday, and a week later my mother Zichrono Levracha, Rei Ani Kaparet Mishkava, passed away on Shabbos, so I didn't say Shia Sunday, so it's 3 weeks. So there are a lot more problems to complain about. The Hadarat Nashim, the arrest of all these Jews in Mehisharim yesterday, and money laundering, and no one knows the full story. Rumors are spreading, we're talking tens of millions, hundreds of millions, and you can have all the complaints in the world.
But
Relax. We haven't seen defense yet. The story is just unfolding. But it's in that, and you're worried about Israel. What about in America, what they just uncovered with cars for kids? If half the story is true, Marvin Schick, who's a little older than I am, called it the greatest Chilul Hashem he has ever experienced. What did I say yesterday about what's going on here? The greatest Chilul Hashem I have experienced. Cars for kids. Go to the websites. Go to the, you get it. Two Chabatnikim set up an organization that they advertise on the radios. If you have an old car and you want to get rid of it, donate it. We help children. We help children who have physical disabilities. You get a full tax deduction. So they got hundreds of millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars worth of cars. Now, what they didn't tell anyone is that Cars for Kids really doesn't exist. It's just the name. It goes into a fund. They now claim that 90% of the money went into their pockets. The other 10% they had promised RJJ in Staten Island that they'll pay tuition for kids who are Balei Tshuva. So they sent kids who they reached out to RJJ. They owed them $400,000. They refused to pay. RJJ went to Baston with them, one in Baston, and they refused to follow the psak. They then got a Ktav Siruv against them and went into secular court. The judge just ruled last Thursday that they owe RJJ $400,000. But the whole story is unfolding, the biggest Chilul Hashem ever. You go to Goyim, you say you're into dominational, you never reveal where the money is going. It was a front for a play, I think it was called Ora, and it's unbelievable. So don't complain about Israel. If you want to complain, you got to complain about America as well. Anyway, we can have all the problems of the world, the Israeli army and women singing and religious coercion and anti-religious coercion. And of course, I come back to the point that I've made 1,000 times over, that any intelligent person who thinks on his feet, we have no right to complain. Our greatest tragedy is that the masses of Hasidic Jews, Frum Jews, didn't come on Aliyah in the 10s, in the 20s. It would have been an entirely different country, and Hitler would not have been able to kill and uproot 6 million Jews. There would have been millions here instead of waiting for Hitler. But we made the mistake. You all know the Eim HaBanim Smecha, that it may very well be that the whole lesson we have to learn from the Holocaust is we have only one place where a Jew is safe, and that is in Eretz Yisrael. So don't be negative. If there are problems here, we did not create them. Our forefathers created them because they allowed the Mapainikim and the Mapamnikim to set up the country, to set up the histadra, to set up the work ethic, to set up the morale in the public thoroughfare. And we have to say instead, what can we do to make it better? Our attitude has to be, how can we improve? And I spoke about the miracles, I spoke about the kol do dido fake. I added to it from my personal experience, and I don't have to go any further than the hospitals. My mother is a case study. As I said at the end of the hesped, I told Dr. Tova Lichtenstein, I told Tova that I ended off my hesped by quoting the Rebbe. The minute I said, Hakaret HaTov, Yitzhak, the minute I told, I quoted your father, and Hakaret HaTov, she knew the vat. And we both agreed it's one of the Meredith Vetlach of the Rav, just a fabulous thought on how Hakaret HaTov is so important to Yiddishkeit that Moshe Rabbeinu, just what we're reading about now in the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give up the whole Yitzhak Mitzrayim because he had to be Makir Toiva to Yosef at Tzadik. He sent Serech Bat Asha, the Gemara in Saita Daf Yitzayin, I believe it is, sent Serech Bat Asha to find the bier of Yosef at Tzadik. We cannot leave Egypt without him. He was able to preserve us here. He guided us here. He set us up here. We were able to survive here because of Yosef HaTzadik, Hakara Tatov. And I spoke about my mother at the end, that I have to be Makatova to Sharei Tzedek and to Herzog Hospital, that they treated my mother not like she was 98, but 18 years of age. And you compare that to America, to Canada, to Britain, and Canada had to go to court to get them to treat an 82-year-old religious Jew in Toronto a year ago. This was a famous case. And these are miracles. With all our problems, we've never had a day here of peace. We've never had a day without infighting. We've never had a day here without riots. You take today, a normal, beautiful Monday morning, in the middle of the winter, the country is shut down, there's a total strike, Mayor Sharim is in flames, the police and the National Guard, whatever you want to call Mishmach HaGvul, are in battle gear, and Mayor Sharim, and Ribbono Shel Olam, and with it all, look at the achievements. Okay. And then we have to remember Israel is a democracy, and with all our complaints and all our criticisms of democracy, no system ever worked better. Alexis de Tocqueville, the French social scientist who visited America before the Civil War, wrote, it was, if I recall, two tremendous volumes, A Critique of Democracy. And every word he says is true. And I explained to you that the biggest problem of democracy is that majority is always right. And Mark Wiener, Rabbi Lieutenant Colonel Mark Wiener, is still suffering because in kindergarten it was a beautiful spring day and the teacher said, should we go to the zoo and see the monkeys or should we go to the library and see the books? And we'll vote on it. It's a democracy. And the class voted 29-1. Mark was the only one who voted to go to the library. And everyone made fun of him. Now you just think what I'm saying. Just think what I'm saying, Charlie. He had to go to therapist and whatnot. Is this good? Is this good? Absolutely not. He was the only bright person in the class who wrote it correctly. Imagine a choice of going to the zoo to see the monkeys or going to the library and to see from Washington to Washington. Gentlemen, with all our criticisms of democracy, but I've seen communism, I've seen it, I've lived, you know, I've been to Russia. Not today. Today to go to Russia, I'm not an idiot. If I got to go anywhere, let me go to Florida and warm up on the beach. Today to go to Russia is like going to America, basically. But, democracy, we have to make it better. What we can do. And this becomes critically important in the state of Israel. And we have to understand that here, all the eyes of the Gola are upon us. The better we make Israel, the firmer we make Israel, the more beautiful we make Torah observance in Israel, the more impact we have on the entire world. And I read to you, if you recall, the beautiful drasha of the Sri Deish, where he speaks to this Rav Avraham Abba Weingarten. He was then a kid. I shouldn't say Reb. I don't like people who call Gedolei Yisrael when they were 3 years old. They already called them Harav Hagon HaGadol. He was a kid, Avraham Abba. Today he's a Rav, Doctor, Hagon, at Tzadik Yisod Olam. That's a different story. I'm one of my close friends. But Rav Avraham Abba, at his bar mitzvah, the beautiful words his Rebbe said to him about Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh, is a person like a tree, and yet there's a comparison to a tree, and it's the ground and the air around you that a tree needs to be healthy. A Jew in Chutz Laretz is healthy as the air may be. He can be in Yeshiva University, he can be in Landa College, he can be totally surrounded by Torah, he can be in Lakewood, but the ground is alien. Only in Eretz Yisrael do they blend into one, Avir Diyarim Achkima. And then we came to the Meyinim Lanyen Be'oto Winyan, and we asked a very difficult question. Why was our generation privileged to these Nisim V'Niflot? Who can believe we are sitting here in the year 2012 that we have 6 million halachic Jews Al Admat HaKodesh, and every day we gain more. My grandchildren couldn't believe when we came in Aliyah, there were 1.5 million Jews here. That was the whole country. And 1.5 million already was big compared to what was here when the state was founded. You were under 500,000 Jews. We have Rov Minyanu Binyan Shel Klal Yisrael here. Who can believe the economy? All of Europe was downgraded last week. All the stock markets in the world are going to crumble today. And Israel, not downgraded at all. If anything, Israel was upgraded. And this is, who could believe what happened here? But above all, who can believe we're all sitting here and studying Torah and multiply this by tens and tens and tens of thousands of young men and young women, hundreds of thousands, hundreds and hundreds of thousands, studying Torah at this very moment. An army. Who could believe we have a Jewish army? Who could believe that Jews can take orders? No, you've ever been in the rabbinate? You've ever been a shul president? No, it's a serious... An army. Who can believe that one Jew can salute another Jew? I always tell the story of my wife with my son-in-law. When Danny was, Malka had to go to Tel Aviv, and Danny gives her a lift, he's in his army car, his driver, and they hit the, like when you leave Jerusalem, there's a place where the soldiers wait for lifts. A trampiada, I believe it's called. Trampiada. That's the Israeli expression, you can correct me if I'm wrong. And Danny tells his driver to stop the car, and Danny jumps out to tell the soldiers where the car is going, who can fit in. There was two more seats, or it could be it was a bigger car and had four or five more seats. And they salute my son-in-law. My wife couldn't believe it. I mean, this is at a trampiada, and no one's watching, no one's looking. Did basic training whenever I saw an office. Wow, I enjoyed it. This is an army. What a miracle. Why were we Zaycha? And I asked this question, who are we? What are we? I told you, I look at pictures of my great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, and since I saw you last, I found out not only am I related to Rabbi Revel, but I also found out right before I sat down Shiva, I got an email in the office, I'm related, new, you tell me. I mentioned it at Shiva to some people. Who am I related to? Who's sitting here? Gentlemen, you better buy stock in Rakefet. A cousin to Reb Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik and a cousin to Reb Moshe Feinstein. And add that to a cousin to Rabbi Dr. Dov Revel. And it's from two different sides of the family. But that's unimportant now. Why are we privileged? Who are we? Come into my office. Four baseball pictures are hanging on the wall. Come in, see. Why? What? When? And I quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I can't go through the whole story. It was the most fascinating part of last time's Sheyur. The San Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asot Chizkiyahu Mashiach and Sancheriv Gog Magog. And you see that in every generation there is someone who can be the Mashiach. But the generation was not worthy. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that Sadi Dalet Amar Aleph, Lo Amru Shira. They didn't know how to thank God for the miracles. And I brought a proof to what I said in 1968 at that fundraiser for Lakewood, and Reb Shneur Cutler disagreed with me, when Daf Gut Fashtein der Gemara, which I understood he was trying to tell me, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. I later heard a tape of the Rav 30, 40 years later in Moriah, where in the early 50s, the Rav said exactly the same thing and went further, and I ended off the class last time with two quotes from the Rambam, where the Rambam, the Rav said, we see that when the Rambam refers to Bar Kokhba, he calls him HaMelech, that Bar Kokhba could have been Melech HaMashiach. In Hilchot Melachim and Hilchot Paniyot, he refers to Bar Kokhba as Melech. So my question now is all the more, why was our generation Zaycha? Why are we here? Why are we so privileged sitting B'tochechei Yerushalayim? We can walk to the Kotel from here. You certainly can walk. From my house, it's a 40-minute walk. From here, perhaps it's an hour and 5-minute walk. Lama Eich Zachino. Okay. And I want to develop a beautiful idea. I'm basing it upon an essay of Rav Kook, and you'll see the way I developed the idea. Rav Kook wrote many years ago a beautiful essay on Yerushalayim. And he took on a common notion when you speak of Yerushalayim, every kid right away says Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. It's a holy city. I used to bother my students. I would say to a young lady in Mechola or in Machon Gold, in Reshit Moriah, where are you sitting? And she would answer Yerushalayim. I would say, Yerushalayim? You're on a first name basis with Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim Yaakovesh. Of course, wanting to pass the class, she repeats, just as you say, Rebbe, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. That's not enough. Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh Tibaneh V'Tikaneh B'mheira B'Yameinu Amein Sarah. Now let me have it back. And here she would stumble a little, but I would help her. And finally, as Daniel knows from his half-sister, she succeeded in repeating it correctly. So this is true. We immediately think of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. But Rav Kook developed a thesis that's only one half of Yerushalayim. There's another half. Yerushalayim is Ir HaKodesh and Ir HaGevura. It's the capital city. It's the strongest city. It's the city filled with Jewish soldiers. It has a dual theme in it. And Rav Kook explained, on one hand, certainly it's holy, it's Kedusha, it's the Har HaBayit, it's the Beit HaMikdash. Quoted the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. You'll all recognize this Pasuk. Yirmiyahu Bet, Psukim, Bet Gimel, Halach v'karata v'ezne Yerushalayim le'mar, Koma Hashem, Zachati lach chesed ne'uray. Ahavat klulotayach, lechtech acharein b'midba, be'eretz lo zarua. Kodesh Yisrael laHashem, reshit tevuata. And of course, on this level, what does Yerushalayim represent? The struggle of the Torah people, the saga of the Jewish people, the epic of the Jewish people. What we have gone through and how we listened to God and all that it took us to go through, exile, deprivation, living in the desert, but ultimately because we recognize that the end of our journey will be Yerushalayim, Kodesh Yisrael HaHashem, holiness, sanctity, the Baal Tshuva movement of today. Who can ever believe that a kid could come out of Holyoke, Massachusetts and be a Rav and be a Yirei Shemayim and be a Talmud Chacham? Mark is from Holyoke, Massachusetts. Kedusha. When Mark thinks back on Holyoke, how many Shomer Shabbos were there between the ages of 13 to retirement? Koama Hashem, Zachati lachesed nurayach, lechtech acharai b'midbar, mamish. And here you are sitting in Yerushalayim. But there's another part to Yerushalayim. Physical strength. Gevura. Yishayahu samachbet pasuk vav, al chomotayach Yerushalayim, hifkadati shomrim. Kol hayom v'chol halayla. And this was described to me 1967, right after the conclusion of the Six-Day War. No one knew what would happen. They opened up the Kotel. For the first time, Jews are going to come into the old city. And as I mentioned, it was a little Israel. And hundreds of thousands came in from all over the country, set up tents, camped out in the parks, in Gan HaAtzma'ut and Gan HaPamon. And Shavuot morning, hundreds of thousands streamed to the Kotel. And you could go in through Shah Yafo, and you walked all the way around and came out through Shah Shechem. And al chomotayach Yerushalayim hifkadati shomrim, paratroopers stood within dalet amot of each other. The entire walk around the old city, on top of every building, with total continuity, were paratroopers standing, because no one knew how the local population would react. And literally, people who experienced it used this pasuk, al chomotayach Yerushalayim hifkadati shomrim kol hayom v'chol halayla. So Rav Kook starts to develop a beautiful idea. Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh is not enough. It's Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh and the Tanel Yerushalayim Yer HaBira, Yer HaGvura, Yer HaKoach v'Otzem Atzmat Ruach. Wow. Beautiful Gemara. Rav Kook touched up the Gemara. No? Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Zion, Amid Bet. Beautiful Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Eizem Atbeya Shel Yerushalayim. You should know that I wrote a letter to the Coin Authority when it was still a governmental institution, suggesting that they do a coin following that Gemara. Never got an answer, because at that time it was years ago and you didn't have people who knew what Torah was about in government positions. Today it's no longer a governmental function, but I'm sure if I wrote the letter again, I'd get a response. Eiz matnei shel Yerushalayim, David v'shlomo mitzad echad, v'Yerushalayim yehakodesh mitzad echad. Well, what does this mean? What's the Gemara telling us? Picture of David, Shlomo on one side of the coin, and on the other side, the letters, Yerushalayim HaKodesh. What is the Gemara telling us? But Rav Kook explains so beautifully. This is exactly the dual status of Yerushalayim. What do David and Shlomo represent? No, the Gemara in Yevama, Daf Chav Dalet Amid Bet, I gave a year, more than a year on Geirut. Bimei David v'Shlomo, were you allowed to accept Geirim? No, who knows? The Rambam, Yisuri Bir, how much Torah has been said on this topic? You weren't allowed to be Makabel Geirim. Why weren't you allowed to be Makabel Geirim? Because they were converting not L'Shem Shemayim. They were converting out of fear for the powerful armies of Chayalei Beit David v'Chayalei Beit Shlomo. The conversion was not L'Shem Shemayim. David v'Shlomo represent on this coin the Gevura, the physical strength, the army, the courage to fight, the chain of command. And on the other side of the coin, of course, Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. So you see from that Gemara, you have a dual status. Jerusalem is holy, and Jerusalem represents strength. And that's that unique coin. David v'Shlomo mitzad echad, Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh mitzad hasheni. And now let me go further. What I want to add to it, you find this in Tehillim. What did we say this morning in davening? Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbat. We said Mizma Mem Chet. What did we say? Gadol Hashem U'Mehula Ma'od B'Yir Elokeinu HaKadsho. Pasuk Bet. What are we talking about? Kedusha, the city of God, the holy city, HaKadosh, the Beit HaMikdash. One pasuk later, Yifei Nof, Mesos Kol Haaretz, Har Tzion, Yakatzei Tzafon, Kiryat Melech Rav. The city of the great king. Power, Gevura, the defender, the protector of the Jewish people. Look what you see here. Once again, both motives. Kedusha, Gevura. But more than that, there's one part of davening that is amazing. It's the last addition to the davening that every Jew, every Eidah, every Nusach says. In a certain way, it's miraculous. Since the time I'm 12 years of age, I stand for Lecha Dodi. There's a Jew in my shul. I grew up in the Bronx, Mr. Heller, Zichrono Levracha. And he said to me, we have to love Lecha Dodi. It's a late addition. Where did it come about? Svat. Rav Shlomo Alkabetz. The time of the Ari HaKodesh, the Shulchan Aruch, 1500s. The Eidat HaMizrach say it. Nesach Ari says it. Nesach Sfrad says it. Nesach Ashkenaz says it. Achad Odi, and what are we saying it? Midash Melech Ir Melucha. Look how Rav Shlomo Alkabetz hits the nail on the head. Yerushalayim, Mikdash Melech, holiness, Ir Melucha, capital city, strength, Gvura, Kumi Tzi'i Mitoch Achfecha, Rav Lach Shevet B'Emek HaBacha, V'Hu Yachmol Alayich Chemla. What beautiful, beautiful words. As long as I live, I can never forget saying these words in Loa, in Maplewood, in Beth Ephraim, the first Orthodox shul in suburban Essex County. You're looking at the first rabbi of the shul. 50 years have gone by or more. I'm sure no one even knows my name there today, but that's the nature of life. At least I perpetuated the early years in the struggle in Washington. And I'll never forget it. Right after the Six-Day War, Yerushalayim was liberated on Wednesday, and saying these words, that Friday night, Mikdash Melech, Ir Melucha, everything we hope for, everything we long for, everything we want, everything we wish, everything we prayed for, everything we sacrificed for, four words say it all. Midash Melech Ir Melucha. Now, let me tell you, before I come to my point, with this background, I can explain something else to you. Everyone wants to cut back on Yiddishkeit a little. Gotta be modern, gotta be shocking, gotta be revolutionary. Excuse me. Right after the Six-Day War, I remember Rabbi Hartman, and he then was still, we thought, the Chaim Berlin Lakewood Yeshiva College boy or Yeshiva University boy. And Rabbi Hartman in Montreal, loud and clear, Moshe, we have to abolish Tisha B'Av. We have the old city. We have the Kotel HaMaravi. No, have you heard Jews get up and say, so-called from Jews, have you heard people say, we have to abolish Tisha B'Av? Gentlemen, let me tell you, it's not Tisha B'Av. If you want to abolish anything, you can make a case for Shiva Sabatamas, but not for Tisha B'Av. And I'll explain why. It's based upon what I just said. Tanit Perek Dalid Mishnah Vav. You'll find it in Masechet Tanit Daf Chaf Vav Amid Bet. So the Masechet Tanit is telling us why we fast. We have all these fast days for Churban Habayit. B'Shiva Asah B'Tamiz Chuk V'Ka'a Ha'ir. On Shiva Asah B'Tamiz, they breach the wall around the old city. U'B'Tisha B'Av Charav Bayit B'Rishona B'Shniya. And on Tisha B'Av, they destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash and the second Beit HaMikdash. Gentlemen, notice we have two different fast days here. Each one commemorates the fall of a different part of Yerushalayim. The minute you breach the old city, you're going to win. It's only a question of time to get from Jaffa Gate to the Makom HaMikdash. You can put up fights, you can put up battles, Jews can fight to the end, Jews can sacrifice their lives, but the minute the Romans breach the gate, they're 3 weeks away from total victory. What have they destroyed on Shiva Sabbatamis? The strength, the army, the Gevura, that aspect of Jerusalem. Tisha B'Av, Churban HaBayit, the Kedusha is gone. The Makom HaMikdash is gone. The Har HaMoriah, the Beis HaMikdash, the Korbanot, the Kohen HaGadol and Yom HaKippur, Ashrei Ayin Mirat HaZot, it's all gone. Gentlemen, what do we have today? Gevura, an army, the old city, power, soldiers, police, Mishmar HaGvul, so many levels of Gevura in the old city. But we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. We don't have Kabbonot. We don't have Kohanim B'Avodatam. We don't have Leviyim B'Shiram. Gentlemen, if you want to make a case to abolish any fast day, it's Shiva Sabbatamis. Gevura we have. But Kedusha, Tisha B'Av, all the more do we have to fast and cry and mourn and plead that we should see the total redemption of Yerushalayim, the total fulfillment, the Kedusha and the Gevura merging into one, synthesizing into one, that we so desperately yearn for and so desperately long for, and Baruch Hashem, even Klei Mikdash are being prepared. Are you aware of that? Have you seen Chol HaMoed when they display the menorah that was prepared out of one block of gold that's on display as you walk down to the Kotel HaMaravi coming past Yeshiva HaKotel? Oh, how we long, the besamim, the ketoret, how it's all been identified, how they know how to put it together. We're not allowed to. We can only put it together, but not in the proportions that the Torah indicated. But how we long, chas v'chalila, to say we abolish Tisha B'Av. It shows we don't understand what Kedusha, what the Beis HaMikdash, what the Churban Bayit Rishon and Churban Bayit Sheni was. So gentlemen, what have we said about Yerushalayim? It represents Kedusha, it represents Gevura. Many generations long for the restoration. Many generations prayed, many generations fasted. But June of 67, Nes Gadol Haya Po. A Nes that our grandparents, with all their piety, that our ancestors, with all their dedication, could not achieve. And somehow, a miracle happened here that the sanctity and the strength blended into one. I don't have to tell you about the army, the stories, the capture of Jerusalem, the Givat HaTachmoshet, when Jewish boys threw themselves into bunkers with grenades. They gave their lives, but they cleaned out the bunkers that the Israeli army could move forward against Jordan. The stories of the redemption of the Kotel, the Tzanchanim, Har HaBayit B'Yodenu, that Gevura, our ancestors, our forebears, never had a chance to express. 2,000 years of exile, 2,000 years of degradation, 2,000 years of being placed in a ghetto, 2,000 years of having to protect and crawl and plead for protection. But there was more than that. And the bigger miracle was, and I lived it. If anyone would have asked me before June, that Wednesday, 67, imagine that you recapture old Jerusalem. What would the country be interested? Ben-Gurion, Eshkol, Dayan, Golda Meir, Yitzhak Rabin, Mordechai Gur, Balev, all the names of the leaders at that time, my answer would have been Haratzofim. The secular Jew, the Jew who has left Torah, the Jew who is ignorant of what Torah is about, what would he be interested in? Al Pisgat Haratzofim, the Hebrew University, the great achievement that on Haratzofim they built and dedicated the great university that will be like any other university in the world, the amphitheater. We redeemed it. We're back again. That's what I would have said. That's what I would have predicted. That's what any logical, rational person would have concluded. And Nes Gadol Haya Po, all eyes turned to the Kotel HaMaravi and the dedication, the spirit, the sanctity, the Kedusha that all of Klal Yisrael displayed, that ultimately when the Israeli government issued a stamp 1 year later to celebrate the victory and the deliverance of the Six-Day War, what was on the stamp? The Kotel HaMaravi. And all the leaders from Dayan, from everyone came with a kittel to put into the Kotel. Weeks later, they remembered, oh, we also got back the Hebrew U, we got back Haratzofim, we got back the amphitheater, but the Kotel became the focal point. And it was much more than the Kotel, as I told you. It's Chabad with the tefillin stands, the concept of a shrine, a place to visit, the Baal Tshuva movement. Who would ever dream that we have in the world today, minimum, B'li Ayin Hara, over 2 million Jews who have the status of Shomrei Shabbat. Over 2 million. Could be it's more, could be I'm underestimating. But you're talking, who is a Jew? The Gemara? She'enu mechalel Shabbat v'prahesiyah. In the state of Israel alone, you may have 2 million. Could be I'm underestimating. In the state of Israel alone, you probably have on to 2 million Jews who qualify. Not probably, absolutely have over 2 million Jews who are Shomrei Torah and Mitzvot and qualify for the beautiful title of a Shomer Shabbos v'prahesiyah. Think for a minute. Yerushalayim, Bnei Brak, all the little cities that's filled with Torah Jews. Even Haifa, you have already tens of thousands. Think for a minute. Eidot HaMizrach, the Olim from all over the world. 80% religious, perhaps 85%. Nefesh b'nefesh, the Anglos that come. The Balei Tshuva among the Russians. Reed Washington. See Rakepet's description of a Maariv Minyan celebrating a Russian kid's bar mitzvah in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Wow. Around the world, who would ever dream what you have? At least another million. At least, that's France, Belgium, England, Australia, Canada, America, a little in South America, Mexico. Who would ever dream, after Hitler, what we have been privileged? What sanctity? The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, and no one agrees more than Aaron Rakefet, if the Hitler root of the Six-Day War would have continued a few more weeks, Mashiach would have been here. Could be it continued, but life works such that you have to go back to normal existence, but it's only been positive. It's only bin malin b'kodesh v'yein moridin. We've lit many Hanukkah candles, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. I don't want to say which one we're at now, but we've gone up in so much strength, so much beauty, so much achievement, so much dedication. Ashrei ayin ra'atazot. And this may be a humble reason why we were privileged in our generation. And I quote to you from the Kuzari, which was a sefer when I went to school. Who studied Kuzari? Who heard of Kuzari? Today, in the entire Torah world, in the last 30 years, there must be 5, 6 brand new editions, brand new translations of the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. We relegated it. Philosophy, if you want to study Jewish philosophy, so you have to study Rabbeinu Sajagon, the Sefer Munet V'Deyot, Rabbeinu Yehuda Halevi, the Kuzari. Today in Israel, the Kuzari became a major, basic, classic Sefer. And the Kuzari ends off in his whole discussion with the king of the Khazars and the Yerushalayim among Tibaneh. Kisheyichsefu b'nei Yisraelo tachlit hakisuf. This is at the very end of the Kuzari. Now what do those words say? That he's telling the Melech, yes, Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, but it will only be rebuilt when the Jew longs for Yerushalayim with all his heart and soul. And perhaps we were privileged in 67 on that the Jew longed for Yerushalayim with all his heart and soul, with Gevura, with Kedusha, Migdash Melech, Ir Melucha. And that's why he was privileged, Sheyatzanu Mitoch HaChafecha. So perhaps this is an approach why our generation achieved what no one was able to achieve before us. Okay. Now, let me go a step further. How do you know? How do you know that you're part of this picture? How do you know you've risen above the crowd? How do you know that you're no longer in Queens, Chicago, Lawrence, Far Rockaway, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, what have you? How do you know? It's an unbelievable Yerushalmi. It appears twice. Yerushalmi Chagiga, Perigimel, Halacha Vav, or Subdivision Vav. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And he's quoting the Pasuk from Tehillim Kuf Chaf Bet Pasuk Gimel. Yerushalayim HaBnuya Ki'ir Shechubra La Yachdav. And what is the psalmist saying? When Jerusalem is rebuilt, it unites all the Jews. And the Gemara says on that pasuk, Ir shehi oseh kol Yisrael chaverim. And it's interesting. There's a halachic definition to the Yerushalmi, and there is a practical definition. On the halachic level, if someone invites you to eat in his home in Jerusalem, you're allowed to eat. Everyone has a cheskat kashrut. Everyone has a cheskat chaver. And it's an amazing thing. All the supermarkets in Jerusalem, everything they sell is kosher. Now, you can have a problem. Sometimes people say, like right now, the Haagen-Dazs, I told you, America contacted me. How can the Haagen-Dazs not be kosher? And I guessed right away. It's a problem of Chalav Yisrael because they don't have their own plant here. Ben and Jerry's has their own plant. So their ice cream is Chalav Yisrael. But if you're not makpid on Chalav Yisrael, Haagen-Dazs is 100% perfectly kosher. Ribbono shel Olam. But you should know, the supermarkets, the co-op, the super soul, I'm not already talking about the Haredi markets, Hashikmar, Osherad. It's a pleasure in Jerusalem. It's very bad for your diet. You can walk through the city and every last bakery with all that gooey, beautiful stuff, everything is kasher. And today it's Lamahadrin. When I came in Aliyah, there were problems yet. They used the same baking for milchiks, parva, because the svadim and mekil, if they bake parva and milchik or kalim, they can eat it together with meat. We can only eat it after meat. All right, you're earning your day. You'll see what I'm talking about. Today, every bakery has separate milchik baking, parva baking. They don't mix up because you have so many charedim, Baruch Hashem. Everyone wants this highest standard. But it's a beautiful concept that every Yerushalmi has a cheskat kashrut, the status of a chaver in the language of the Gemara. But it's more than that. It's a city where you feel the friendship, you feel the closeness, you feel the joy of being a Jew and being part of Klal Yisrael, being part of Am Yisrael. Who would ever believe that Jews would pour in from all the corners of the earth? And I can tell you, one Friday night at the Kotel, I was davening mincha up front. Today I daven mincha with my own minyan, we have a mincha minyan. But I was davening up front, and standing there with some chassidish yidden, good, wonderful Jews, and a whole group of Ethiopian yeshiva high school boys come by, and you see these kids with afro skin with big white kippot on their heads, and the contrast so beautiful, the black and the white, and they're kissing the kotel. And one Hasidic Jew says to me, Nema Cook, Shem Mashiach Zeit as Menzet Azabild, and he hit the nail on the head. He said to me, it's Mashiach time that we can see Jews black with big white kippot kissing the kotel. We're all one. We're all united. And if you have this feeling, you have arrived. The Yerushalmi in Baba Kama, Perek Zion, Subdivision Zion, Yerushalayim Habanuya, V'chulu. And here it's a slightly different language. Yisrael ze leze. And the Panei Moshe explains, Ir shemechaberet Yisrael ze leze, kisha'olim letocha na'asim hakol kachaverim, v'kulan shavin ze leze. You come up to Yerushalayim, you come to the Kotel Chalamayid, you come to the Kotel Birchat Kohanim, you come to the Kotel Friday night, you come to the Kotel Shavuot morning, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And if you have a feeling, these are my brothers, these are my brethren, these are my cousins, these are my people, we are all part of the same destiny, the same saga, the same history. If you feel it, then you have achieved it. Then you're no longer in Chicago, no longer in Far Rockaway, no longer in Allentown, no longer in Los Angeles, no longer in Lawrence. You are in Yerushalayim, Ir HaBira, the Ir HaKadosha. And I want to say something else. I hope I can get through it without breaking down. God privileged me, and Rabbi Rubin told me off last night, correctly so, that when I ended the shiur, I wasn't allowed to say I'm giving my best shiur tomorrow, because you still want to give your best. You don't want the Ribbono Shel Olam to think, and it's based upon the Rav's Torah, Shlichut Adam, and Rabbi Rubin's absolutely correct. But I'll put it this way. You all know that Malka and I worked for the Mossad, the branch of the Mossad that dealt with Russian Jewry for 10 years. Of course, we're under a security clause, and I modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu that I can talk about it publicly. So we had to keep the chain going of teaching Talmud in the Refusnik community. That was our main goal. We had other missions to accomplish, but that was the main goal. So over that period, we sent over 200 people, not a small matter. You're talking about millions and millions of dollars being invested by the Israeli government in the teaching of Shas and Poskim behind the Iron Curtain. These people today have grown much older. I'm in my 70s, some already are gone. Many have reached their 80s, and inevitably I hear from these people, Aaron, you should know that when we look back on our lives, the greatest thing we did was your sending us to Russia and what we were able to do there. I heard this for, and I'll give you an example, Ruby Davidman, who ran, I think in your time, he ran the building here, he was the boss, great individual. Basketball star of Yeshiva College, early 50s. His picture is on the wall downstairs. And Ruby said to me, it was the greatest thing we could do. And I heard that from many others. And I want to tell you, who would ever dream? I was a kid growing up in America. I told you more than once, in America, we used to have debating societies. Red or dead. There was a whole article, I think Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb wrote the article in tradition, in the early traditions, red or dead, if you have your choice, and the communists are invading America, do you fight to the end, get yourself killed, or the heck with it, live under the communist red sickle? And you know, we were raised to hate the Russians. And then I got to Russia, and I was flabbergasted. Who are we going to fight in Russia? They Jews all over the place. Who are we going to kill? Who are we going to drop a bomb on? When I would ride the underground in Russia, the metro, and there was absolute silence under the communists, not like Israel. Israel is talking, gossiping today. It's impossible. They're on their phones. The girlfriend is telling her girlfriend what happened with her boyfriend last night, and 42 people are listening on the bus. But in Russia, no one said a word under the communists. You were frightened stiff. Big Brother is listening. But I would look around the car we were in. What do you call it? A caron. How do you say that in English? You know, it's one car of the train. What's the word for a train car? A train car? A subway car. Yeah, a subway car. There is no special word. In Hebrew, it's caron. So I would look around, and I would look for Jewish faces. And in Moscow, I can tell you, if only 20% were Jewish, I was underestimating. And then I realized, these are our brothers, these are our cousins. If not for the grace of God, there go we. No, who owns the most important biography ever written, this scholarly work called Washington to Washington. Most important, I quote Rabbi Muskin, said it, not me. Who owns it? Okay. You look around. Russia. Who did I teach in Moscow? They blocked out my face when the picture was published. Yosef Begun. Who was Yosef Begun? Who is he? Should live and be well. Lives in Yerushalayim today. 3 times he was arrested for Zionist activity. Yosef Begun, 3 times he was exiled, put in prison, 3 times he suffered. You should have seen what he looked like, what he came out, no teeth left in his mouth. Who was his cousin? My student in Mechlala. Meira Tepper. Kew Gardens Hill, sound familiar? And it's just unbelievable. 2 brothers, one got out of Russia and one couldn't get out. And the one in Russia remains, and Yosef Begun is his son, and Meir is the grandchild of the brother who got out. First cousin, once removed. Who are our enemies? And I realized, I'm Yisrael. Russian Jews, Moroccan Jews, it doesn't matter from where. Isha Hubra Lo Yachdav, we are one. And there's an unbelievable pasuk, Vahaya Yishayahu Chavchet, Pasuk Yud Gimel. We just read it. Vahaya Bayom Hahu, Jitaka Beshofa Gadol, Uba Uha of Din Be Eretz Ashura, Vahamidachim Be Eretz Mitzrayim, Vishtachavula Hashem Bahar HaKodesh Be Yerushalayim. And what is this pasuk saying here? What does it mean? Ovdim, nidachim. And I touched up the pasuk. It's dashanut, but I hold it to be pshuto shel mikra. That there'll come a day when Jewish consciousness will be recreated. 1967, there'll suddenly be a tremendous shofar that will be heard throughout the world. Ubo hovdim be'eretz Ashur. Eretz Ashur, lashon osher, wealth. You get lost. The American Jew assimilated. No one pushed him away. No one drove him away. No one told him to be a mechalel Shabbos and ochle neveilut and treifat the boil bilat asurat and all that goes with it. But in a land of plenty, it is so enticing, we get lost, we assimilate, we lose it all, we westernize, our values change, our goals change, our desires, the whole saga of our people recedes into distant memory. Vahani dachim b'Eretz Mitzrayim. What is Eretz Mitzrayim? Eretz Mitzrayim is oppression, affliction, torture. Vayanu altam. The Jews suffered. The children were destroyed. Avodah Perach. And even those Jews who are pushed away forcibly, they're not getting lost. It has been nidachim. But when that shofar is blown, they all wake up and they all come back. And what unites them? Vishtachavula Hashem Bahar HaKodesh B'Yerushalayim. And the Metzudat David says so beautifully, Bahar HaMoriah Homei B'Yerushalayim V'Hu Makom HaMikdash. And this is what happened in 67. Neis Gadol Haya kan po neskato. The gevura, the kedusha, the sanctity, the strength, the centrality of Jerusalem, the focal point of Jerusalem, the charisma of Jerusalem, the attraction of Yerushalayim HaKodesh, it woke up the Jews. And if you think this is just sermonics, I can prove it to you very simply. Every last refusenik told me the same story in Russia. You'll hear it from Yosef Begun. You'll hear it from Yosef Tzadik Mendelovich. You'll hear it from Elio Esas. You'll hear it from Yitzchak Kogan. You'll hear it from every last refusenik. They grew up in Russia. They were already a third, a fourth generation under the communists. Only a little residue of Jewish feeling remained within them. And then came the Six-Day War and what happened before it. Do you recall NASA moved his troops into Sinai 3 weeks before the war broke out? The whole world was celebrating. The Jew will soon be destroyed. The UN met and Russia laughed at us. And you saw their delegates talking with Saudi Arabia delegates and Egyptian delegates. And everyone was predicting that Israel would be pushed into the Mediterranean. We were frightened. We were crying. And in Russia, everyone owned a television. A poor country, a television was obligatory. You got a 100-year loan at a ruble a year from the local Communist Party. They wanted everyone to own a television. Can anyone tell me why? propaganda. If you ever saw Russian television under the communist propaganda, fabulous what you would see. The great Russian commissars, the great Russian economy, the great Russian mother who had 10 children and gets a medal, heroic mother of the communist empire. And all the propaganda was shown. And the refusnikin told me, you have to learn how to watch Russian television. People were watching it and hearing what the commentators were saying. They were watching it and seeing pictures of yeshiva boys and Beis Yaakov girls in Yerushalayim digging trenches. I believe I told you this. The impact it made upon them. Those are not Israelis. Those are not aliens. Those are not foreigners. Those are our cousins. Those are our brothers. Those are our sisters. We are Jews. And that's why, what became their rallying cry? Am Yisrael Chai. Remember their song? Kachol Lavan, simple Hebrew. Ze Hatzeva Shali. This is my color. This is the Jew. This is a talis. This is the Israeli flag. Kachol V'Lavan. And this is the feeling that Yerushalayim has to arouse within us, has to create within us. If you go to the Kotel and you look at all these different Jews and you feel love and identity, you have arrived. If you don't have this feeling, you are a sinner. And you are a long way from understanding and responding to the divine story of our people. And let me go one step further and say something I was privileged in my own life to feel and see. Generally speaking, there's a generation gap. It's a problem. It's very important that you're going to teach Torah. You have to keep yourself young. You have to keep yourself in the world of your students. I believe I write about it in Washington, and I'm ashamed to say it, but it's the truth. My baseball knowledge was Makarev, many a student to Torah Tashem Tamima. Today, they're Rashi Yeshiva, they're Hasidic Rebbeim, they're my students. And I'm not exaggerating, Hasidic Rebbeim. Eish Kodesh, your Hasidic Rebbe, there's my Talmud. Today they won't even admit they knew baseball. But at the time that we met each other, my knowledge showed them, I also grew up the way you did. You can rise and become try to become a Gadol B'Torah at Tzadik Yesod Olam. But you don't have to be ashamed that you knew Joe DiMaggio's batting average. Smach Bachur B'Yaldutecha. Now, many times there's a generation gap. I don't want to tell you stories. When I was in yeshiva, I remember in private discussion, some of the students today with long beards and payers and borough park and whatnot, and they won't go near YU. I don't want to tell you the little prayer they used, the complaints against Rabbi Belkin and the Rav and the Rashi Yeshiva and the generation gap. And many times you see your children smack their parents' faces. This wife, you heard my lectures on how to find a wife. And there are not too many people here who need these lectures now. But I always told my students, I told my children, always marry someone who is very different than you, personality-wise, their whole emotional system. Why? Because when a kid wants to rebel, if the two parents are the same, it's easy to rebel. If the parents are very different, like I have grandchildren are debating, my wife is Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, I'm Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, the debate goes on who's who, but they know they're very different. There's no way you can rebel, because if you go one way, you hit my wife. If you hit the, go the other way, you hit your father, you hit yours truly. So it's very, but you all know how much has been written, psychology and Freud and generation gaps and Firkov graduate school and what else, all these psychological graduate, Wurzweiler graduate school and dealing with these problems, it's innumerable. But you know what's amazing? There's my favorite pasuk in all of Tanakh. It hangs on my office. It was done for me by a Talmud rabbi, a very famous Talmud today, Rabbi David Sampson. Zechaya perik chet psukim dalet hei. Ko amah Hashem svakot. Od yeshvu skeinim v'skeinot berechovat Yerushalayim. V'ish mishanto b'yado mirov yamim. Urechovat hayir yamalu yeladim v'yeladot mesachakim berechovat techa. The Lord of hosts has spoken. There will yet come a time, and remember this was said at Churban, Zechaya, the end of the Nevi'im. There will yet come a time when old men and old women will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, the thoroughfares. Each one will walk with a cane because they'll be so old. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in their thoroughfares. And I want to humbly bow before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he privileged me. My mother saw five generations, and that's truly Zekeinim v'Zekeinot and Yeladim v'Yeladot Mesachim b'Rechovoteha. So first of all, you should understand that if you walk with a cane in Jerusalem, it is fulfilling a biblical vision. If you get a little older, don't be ashamed to walk with a cane. Never forget, v'ish mishanto b'yado mirov yamim. But you should know something else, and even more important. When boys and girls play in the streets of Jerusalem, it is not just children playing. It is children bringing the words of the prophet to fruition, to fulfillment, to tangibility. What a mitzvah to play in the streets of Jerusalem. And you should know that when I taught in Michalar and had all these Israeli girls doing student teaching and the American girls going home for Pesach, no one could get back in my class without bringing a yo-yo or a jump rope or both. The yo-yo for the boys, I didn't want to give them balls because it's dangerous to play ball on the streets, it can run into the gutter, and the jump ropes were for the girls. And I had the Israeli girls give it out in their student teaching. My classic was overflowing with yo-yos and jump ropes, and it was b'tanai that they would explain that when you play in the streets of Yerushalayim, urechovot ha'ir yamalu yeladim v'yeladot mesachakim berechovot, it's literally a kiyum of the words of the prophet. Ashreinu shezachinu lerot etze b'mo einenu. And there's a much deeper concept here. Generally, there's a generation gap. But on Yerushalayim, it is amazing that the children are even more dedicated than the parents. You see in Chinuch what we have given over to the next generation, in my case the third generation, I'm working now on the fourth generation, I stand in awe of my children's and grandchildren, their dedication to Yerushalayim. On this level, Yerushalayim has achieved what no other concept has been able to do. Grandparents and grandchildren, parents and children, Freud, don't look at each other, don't talk to each other, don't understand each other. And this is the antithesis of what Torah is about, and certainly the antithesis of what Yerushalayim represents. And here I can tell you the beautiful story that appears in Art Scroll, that I can tell you that the story is correct because I was ear witness to the story. And it's very simple. In 1980, the State of Israel sent me to be scholar in residence in Denver, Colorado. What was the concept? Already on the American campuses, the liberal Jews with Arabs were speaking evil of the state of Israel. And the idea was to plant someone with scholarly credentials as an official visitor or guest of the university, and you could give public lectures on campus. And I was heading to Denver. And this was right after the Knesia Gedola of the Agudat Yisrael that I just spoke to you about in class a few weeks ago, 1980. And I notice on the plane, I'm on the Elal, I'm flying to New York, it's the middle of the night, and I see all the big shots of Agudat Yisrael. There's Renachum Parrish, Rav Shlomo Lawrence. What's going on here? And I take a look, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and a number of other Rabbanim from America are getting on the plane. They're going back after the convention, after the Knesia Gedola, where I heard those terrible words between about the Gera and Rav Shach. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the seat, right at the front of the plane. I don't know if they have seats like this anymore, a bulkhead seat right in front of me. I'm sitting here, he's sitting there. I take a look, sitting next to Rabbi Yaakov is the head of the Histadrut, Yeruchim Meshel, at that time. And Yeruchim Meshel, Rabbi Yaakov, start up a whole discussion in Yiddish, Mamalashim. And they're talking and talking and talking, and this kid is standing over Rabbi Yaakov, what can I do? What can I do? How can I help you? And Rabbi Yeruchim Meshel asked Rabbi Yaakov, where's the younger man? Who is this young man who's standing and trying to help you? And he says, Rabbi Yaakov says, that's my grandson. And Yeruchim Meshel says to him, your grandson? He says, I have nothing in common with my grandchildren. They don't talk to me. They live in a different world. They have different values. And Rabbi Yaakov says, thank God, my grandson and I live in the same world. And he goes on to give him divrei Torah that I've said in class. I don't want to repeat it. But I want to tell you, when it comes to Yerushalayim, even more. Alachat kama v'kama. How the children go with feeling and dedication. And you see their love and their surrender to all that the country asks of them. What youngsters, what a youth, what we have lived to see. And it's Koam Hashem Svakot, O.J. Shvus Keinim V'Skeinot B'Rechovat Yerushalayim V'Ish Mishanto B'Yado Meirov Yamim U'Rechovat Ha'ir Yemalu Yeladim V'Yeladot Misachakim B'Rechovoteha. And I want to tell you, the late, the mid-90s was amazing. Tel Aviv, they had two guest stars perform together. It was, you might think Mashiach was coming, the North Tel Aviv youth, and the youth from all over the country, Michael Jackson and Madonna. And they say in the big park in Tel Aviv where they performed, 80,000 youth came out. 3 hours, what a performance. You know, it's not that I was depressed. I can understand Michael Jackson, Madonna, all right, vulgarity, stupidity. But all right, this is the youth that doesn't have Torah, just a little bit Torah. This is a big attraction. That Cholamoid, right after this performance, you can check it out. It might have been in March. Right afterwards is Cholamoid Pesach. And Avraham Fried is coming to perform in Gan Sakha. And the papers went crazy. And it was a much smaller Israel than today and much less religious percentage-wise. Over 100,000 people came out to hear Avraham Fried performing. And I said, wow, what a youth. And Jackson and Madonna went Tel Aviv. By the way, Madonna goes by the name Esther today, so maybe I should be Machaberha and call her Esther, because it got the Pope all upset. If it got the Pope all upset, then I have to back it. So that was in Tel Aviv. But in Yerushalayim, Yeladim v'yeladot, Misachakim v'rechovotah, Cholamoy Pesach, they couldn't believe the crowd that came out to hear Avram Fried sing Shirei Kodesh, Shirei Nefesh, Shirei Neshama. Wow. And let me finally end off and go one step further. This is why, when it comes to Yerushalayim, we have a very interesting Gemara, Megillah Daf Chafvav Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says, you can check it out, Lo Nitchalka Yerushalayim Lishvatim. The only city in Israel that was not divided among the tribes was Yerushalayim. Every other city is owned by a tribe. Every other city fits in to one of the 12 Shvatim. By the way, we have to be very fortunate. We happen to be very fortunate that the halacha is that having Rov Minyanu Binyan Shalom Yisrael al Admat Kodesh still does not create a Chiyuv D'Oraita of Shvius. Do you know why? You look into the Rambam, you'll see. You need not only Rov, but you need the Yud Bet Shvatim B'Mekomam. And until we have that, we won't have the problem of Shviyat D'Oraita, which brings Yovel. That's not a problem, but it would be difficult to enforce those laws until everyone is a Shomer Torah mitzvah. So people often make the mistake and they say, Oy vey, the majority of Jews are living here. That means Shmita is a D'Oraita. What about Yovel? So I say, calm down, you're missing a Rambam. It's the majority of Jews, but it's the Yud Beit Shvatim Al Makomam. And that we don't have yet. But what happened that night, wow. So everything is divided up, the Yud Beit Shvatim. You can look at maps where the Shvatim were. Yerushalayim is never divided. No one owns it. It is part of the totality of the Jewish people. We are all here. We all have a share in it. The Olam Lo Amadam had his Pirkei Avot put it so beautifully, no one ever said there's not enough room for me in Yerushalayim. As crowded as it was, with all the Olim L'Regel, everyone was generous, everyone smiled, everyone opened their homes, camps, encampments, tents. I saw this with my own eyes in Gan Atzmaut, right behind where the Ramada Plaza, what's it called, the Sheraton Plaza Hotel is. You got to keep track of all these hotels; they're constantly changing names. But the Sheraton Plaza, right behind there, I saw people coming for Shavuot years ago, but it could even be recently, and camping out and going from there to the Kotel. What a feeling! What a pull! What a city! What sanctity! When you live here, you do not walk alone. When you live here, to quote the Rav, if you have this feeling, you have arrived. And the Rav would often say, to be a member of the Jewish people is to be a member of a community that is eternal, not limited by time. Everything else, you belong to a union, a fraternity, an alumni association. It's limited. It's people you went to school with. It has a time framework. When it comes to being a Jew, we are contemporaries of Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, Miriam HaNeviah, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, and we are contemporaries of Yemot HaMashiach, Mashiach Ben Yosef, Mashiach Ben David, Eliyahu HaNavi. This is being a Jew. You're above time. This is why we have responsibility. This is why we care. This is why we can't be part of the Western world which says eat and drink and be happy and merry and don't give a hoot about tomorrow. Think about what the issues we have today, homosexuality. If homosexuality is to be encouraged, is to be considered totally normative, then Ribbono Shel Olam, where will we have children 50 years from now? The world will not exist. A Jew has responsibility. He does not live by himself. A Jew, he lives the totality of Jewish history, the totality of the Jewish people, the totality of Jewish existence, And what pulls it all together, Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, the Ir HaBira. So let me reiterate. What did we do today? We spoke about and proposed an answer that only fools will dare to tread, but maybe we're foolish, so we walked. What was the answer? What was the question? Why was our generation privileged? Mendel Breitenstein looks at pictures of his forebears, long beards, payers, black clothes, whatever you define to you as being a religious Jew. And why his generation, he and his wife, children, have the privilege that they came in Aliyah Barina. And we responded, you see, in 67, the Gevurah, the Kedusha, it was a response. We were not like the generation of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who did not say Shira. We said Shira. It affected our deportment, it affected our lives. Rakefet went in Aliyah, the only one who went in Aliyah. Hundreds of thousands, ultimately millions of Jews came out of the cobwebs, came out of the caves, came out of the mela, came out of the luxury, went in Aliyah. And we responded on two levels, Kedusha and Gevura. And this is what the Kuzari says, this is a time when ultimately the Jew will feel it with all his heart and soul, the Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. And what should Yerushalayim inculcate within you? What should it engender you with? What should it give to you? What should pass on to you? And of course, the concept of Kol Yisrael Chaverim, Kol Yisrael Chaverim, which is a concept the Jews who are alive now are your friends. The Jews who lived before are your friends. The Jews who will live after you are your friends. We are only here to keep the torch burning, to pass it medor lador. Generation to generation, this is being a Jew. This is being part of the Jewish people. And of course, Yerushalayim unites not just Jews who are alive, but it unites the generations, the elders with the youngsters, and that tremendous commitment and love that all eyes and all hearts turn to Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. And of course, I spoke about the Russian Jews, there's no two ways about it, that the Six-Day War woke them up, the Israel television in Russia, and I end off with telling you about my escapades in the army. I believe I've said this before as well, but it's a perfect ending to today's shiur. Whenever I would begin to lecture in the army, and as I believe I said to you earlier today or last night, that when a Rebbe gets up to speak, a Rabbi gets up to preach, you have to catch them in the first 3 minutes. The average balabas has a 3-minute attention span. If you catch him, then he's going to fall. Oh, we said it last night when we spoke about the shield tut. So I would get up to speak in the army, and I would say, Morai v'rabotai, kishani chazer hayom mehabasis hatzvayi shalenu kan, ani nichnas lebeiti, ואני מעניק קודם כל נשיקה למזוזה. אחר כך לאשתי, והדבר השלישי, אני מעניק נשיקה חמה למסך הטלוויזיה. Wow, you begin like that, 200 חיילים are falling off their feet. This moron, this American jerk, what the hell is he kissing a television screen for? I can understand the mezuzah, he's from. I understand his wife, he respects women. Good. The television screen? And then I go into the lecture, and boy, by the time it was over, they were kissing the television screens that brought the Russian Jews back to life and made this beautiful kibbutz galut possible. Now, next week, I pick up right where we left off, and I'm dealing with the whole concept of Aliyah. And if you wish, you can bring your wives to class, because if the woman is not happy here, the man is not happy. Rule of the thumb, my student Rabbi Steve Przanski, Shmuel Przanski, taught me this. I say it over in his name, maybe Gulal Olam. If your wife is not happy, you are not happy. If your wife is happy, you are happy. And then we deal with Aliyah. And Yitzchak, we are sailing into the topic of topics, Das Torah. And I even added more material. from Rabbi Lichtenstein this past week. Now, give this to Yitzhak Yitzchak. I got to tell you, he has here in Mitzitza, he does not quote the Rav or Reb Chaim. I was disappointed. Give this to Yitzchak. Tell me, Yitzchak, well, I want to ask you a question. One second. I want to ask Rabbi Rubin a question. Sadie Rubin and Joseph Rubin, relatives, go through this carefully. You'll find at the end of this is a listing of the plots of the cemetery where the Rebbe is buried. So I thought that might be.
My mother was a runaway.
Take a look then, where you'll find it.
I took her back here, right.
Okay. Gentlemen, Oni Chabad. They found this Chabadnik, sees the Santa Claus, and he asks him, are you Jewish? The guy says yes. He puts tefillin on him. Only Chabad. So if anyone wants that, that. Now, next. This is someone who about Shiva through the Rav. Very, very fascinating. There's no name on it, so I can give it away. If you have any interest in the Rav and his philosophy, you'll see what it did for this wonderful middle-aged person today. This ad has made the rounds. Have you seen it? Personal mechitzat for Elal. You buy a mechitzat, you put it around you when you're sitting next to a woman on the plane. And this, of course, is unbelievable. Facebook. Face the book. The Hagita Bayom and Balayla. This I believe in with all my heart. Finally, two things. One, there's an article here, a wonderful article. It's last week's Di Yukan. This is a Sfardic guy who grew up in Panovich, Panovich to Merkaz Harav. Merkaz Harav, he winds up in Shas. It is a fabulous read. He knows the Torah world inside out. He's part of it. And he gives you his take. He speaks perfect Yiddish. It's a fabulous description of the discrimination he faced in certain yeshiva, and yet how they were makar of him and why he winds up in Shas and what's good, what's not good, and very interesting. And here is a tragedy which, thank God, with all the other news, we're lost, and it involves a graduate of this very kollel. I can't believe what I read here. Even Malka read the article. She couldn't believe it. Here, a guy named Kahana comes to a Beit Din, whatever, it wasn't in Yerushalayim, it was in Haifa. And he says he wants to marry a Grusha. No, what's the first thing you say to him? You're a Roshem Nesu'an, how can you marry a Grusha? Your name is Kahana. So the guy says he's not a Kohen, that by mistake they gave the family the name Kahana. And ultimately they start investigating and his father brings a picture of the grave of his grandfather with a Magen David on top. And the Dayanim look at the picture and they notice the color of the Magen David and the marble around it are different than the color on the rest of the tombstone. They send a spy to the cemetery and he comes back with a picture of the tombstone with the siman of Kahuna on it. And believe it or not, I don't want to go into more detail because I don't know my Talmud story, but what a disgrace for us. Kala kavol to the Rabbanim in Haifa that they sent a spy to check out the cemetery and take a picture that they did not doctor up. And this is why I'm proud to say in Washington to Washington, all the pictures are not doctored. They are real. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with me. I apologize for my tears, but those were tears of love for Jerusalem. Until we meet again in health and happiness, das vidanya.